John chapter number 1. Let me get this thing turned on here. Got the green light now. John chapter number 1 tonight, if you will. Begin reading tonight in verse number 6. The Bible says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you again for this evening. Lord, I do pray now for this time of preaching. Lord, I pray, God, that you would please empty me of myself. Forgive me of any sin, any failure, Lord, today, Lord, that might hinder me being used in this place tonight. Father, I do pray tonight that you would anoint me afresh and anew with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'd fill me with the power from on high, Father, that I might preach the things that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray you'd give me clarity of heart and clarity of mind tonight, Father, as we look into the Word of God, Lord, and try to gain instruction out of it tonight, Father. I do pray tonight for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts tonight. Lord, may we be encouraged. May we be challenged, Lord. And I pray tonight, if one be lost, they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Father, I pray you'd please help me tonight as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice, if you will, tonight we are introduced to a man by the name of John. This, of course, is John the Baptist. John the Baptist. John the Baptist is probably one of the more interesting characters in the Bible. His ministry was very swift. It did not last very long. He was almost like a flash in a pan or a sudden bright light that went out real quick. I think about if John the Baptist was to walk in those doors tonight, we would very much be able to recognize him. The Bible tells us that he dwelt in the wilderness, that he wore a leather girdle, he ate wild honey and locusts. And so I guarantee you he would be easy to recognize, you know. I don't know whether maybe from his smile, when he smiled, maybe there'd be some grasshopper legs in there, I don't know. Or whether it'd be from that wild honey, or whether it'd be from that leather girdle, I don't know. But we would be able to recognize this man, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the great forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who would prepare the way for Christ's earthly ministry. If you were to look and to study into the life of John, you will find out that there is a lot of similarities in how John came about and how the Lord Jesus came about. In fact, John's birth was one of the miraculous births in the Bible. John was to be born to a priest by the name of Zechariah, and his mother and Zechariah's wife was named Elizabeth. The Bible tells us that Elizabeth was barren. She could not have children. In fact, she had gone past the years of childbearing. In Luke 1:18, the Bible says, "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." You know, Zechariah looked at the angel and he said, "Listen," he said, "I'm a little bit old to be having youngins." And he said, "My wife, she's a little bit old to be able to bear me any children." She was barren and they were unable to have children. But the angel made the announcement that they were going to have a son and they were going to call his name John. Another thing that's interesting about the birth of John the Baptist was the fact that it was prophesied in the Old Testament. In Malachi 3 verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Notice the first part of that verse there. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." So like the Lord Jesus Christ, John was prophesied that he would come in the Old Testament. Also, the birth of John was announced by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel would announce the birth of Christ to Mary and to Joseph, and Gabriel would also announce the birth of John the Baptist. In Luke 1:19, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." And so John was an important figure in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John is an important figure in our Bible. And we see that this man, John, now comes on the scene here in the book of John. Notice tonight in verse number 6, the Bible tells us that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Notice he is sent from God. John had a specific calling. John had a specific task. John had a specific duty that God wanted him to fulfill. You really could say that John was on a mission from God. He had a calling on his life. He had a duty that the Lord wanted him to fulfill. I think about tonight real quick. I want to say that God has a plan for our lives. He has a specific task for each one of us to fulfill. Like John, he was called to be the forerunner of Christ. Every one of us is called in some way to serve the Lord. Every one of us is called to fulfill some task that God has given us to do. John had that call on his life. Notice tonight in verse number 7, the Bible tells us there that John came to bear witness of the light. The light. That matter of witness, it simply means to testimony. It means to obtain or to give testimony that which furnishes evidence of proof. I think about tonight, if we were to go out these doors and we were to witness an accident, hopefully we won't see that, but we would be witnesses of what happened there. As we gather here tonight and we worship, each one of you is a witness to what went on tonight and what took place tonight. I think about as the coming season and Christmas and the holiday coming up, you know, Christmas morning we're going to witness to all the things going on. We're going to be witnesses to what's happening around us. John was sent to bear witness or to give testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. I think about how that John was sent to bear witness of the fact that Christ was the Son of God. He was the one that was prophesied to come in the Old Testament. In fact, if you were to look in the verses 15 through 19, this is what John said. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." We see that John, in those verses, is bearing record or bearing witness to the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he had came. If you'll notice here tonight in these verses, there's the little word light. Light. And that word is very important. First of all, if you will tonight, notice that that word light is capitalized. It's capitalized. Why is it capitalized? It's capitalized because it is a title. It is a title. And what is it a title for? Well, it's a title for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about how that we live in a dark world, we live in a dark time, but Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. Much like John the Baptist in the time that he lived and the era that he lived in, the world was a dark place, but Jesus Christ came on the scene and he became the light of the world. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself on several occasions would declare himself to be the light of the world. In John 8:12, the Lord said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." What a declaration there the Lord makes. He said, I am the light of the world. In John 9, verse 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he goes on in John 12, 46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus Christ is declaring himself to be the light of the world. And John the Baptist was to testify to the fact that Jesus Christ was the light of the world. Understand this tonight, before the birth of Christ, the world was plunged in darkness. All the way from the beginning, when Adam and Eve fell there in the garden and they committed that sin and they entered into that sinful act there in the garden, the world was put under a curse. The world was plunged into darkness. And what was the world looking for? The world was looking for the light of the world to come. As we talked about a little bit Sunday night and how they prophesied and how the Old Testament saints were looking for the coming of the Messiah, John the Baptist would bear witness to the fact that the light of the world had arrived on the scene. I think about how the world was in darkness. There was no hope for mankind. In fact, in Isaiah 9:12, the Bible would say, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I don't know about you, but it's not a pleasant thing to walk in the dark, you know. It's not fun to walk in the dark. I think about in my house, I have a smaller house, and many of you have a home and things like that. And you can kind of navigate through your house in the dark, can't you, for the most part, right? Most of us can do that. Well, when you have a four-year-old who moves things around, that navigation becomes a little bit complicated, you know? And many of you can attest to that. Shane, I can't even begin to imagine, you know? One, two, three, four, six of them. Six of them moving things around. It gets hard to navigate in the dark, you know, with little ones running around. But you think about even in life itself, you know, as we go through life, if we don't keep Christ in front of our lives, if Christ is not the light of our life, if Christ is not the center of our life, it becomes difficult to navigate this world. We'll find ourselves stumping our toes on the things of this world and causing ourselves harm. But we see here that it was prophesied that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. I'm so glad that one Wednesday night I saw a great light. That somebody turned the lights on, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Until Christ brought life in the world, it was a dark thing. I think about not only that, but Christ not only brings light into the world, but He takes a dark soul and He breathes life into it. He breathes life into it. I can remember in my own life two men that I had the opportunity to lead to the Lord. One of them sat at my kitchen table, and as he sat there, his home was falling apart. His family was splitting up. His job situation was becoming very untenable. And I began to witness him on the street and began to talk to him about the Lord. And that man began to weep at my table. And as the Lord began to deal with his heart, and as I began to take him down the Romans road and show him the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he cried there and asked the Lord Jesus to save him, that man's dark life turned to light. All of a sudden, all the problems faded away because Christ had entered into his life. I think about the other young man that I had the opportunity to lead to the Lord. He was going to end it all the night he came to church. In fact, he was about half lit when he showed up, you know, trying to get the courage to get rid of himself and end his life. I asked him the question. I said, have you ever been saved? He says, what is that? When somebody asks that question, boy, you got them hooked, you know. But I began to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that man asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And all of a sudden, I saw light come into that soul. Many of you have witnessed that as you talk to me, and I think about dealing with RU folks and those people that deal with that. When Christ comes into those lives, it's like light comes on in a person's life. Jesus Christ comes into those lives. So we see that John the Baptist had the task of bearing witness to the light, of proclaiming who Christ was. Understand tonight that there is power in light. Power in light. First of all, I want to say that light reveals. Light reveals. If we were to turn out the lights tonight, there wouldn't be a whole lot revealed to us. But light reveals. I think about if you were to go in somebody's home and the lights were dim or the lights were dark, you wouldn't be able to see a lot of the dirt, you know? You wouldn't be able to see a lot of the dust, but when you turn the lights on, you can begin to examine and find things. It's the same thing in our lives. Whenever Christ begins to shine light into our lives, guess what? He begins to point out sin. He begins to point out problems. He begins to point out situations in our lives that we need to address. Light reveals. Not only that, but light removes. You say, what does light remove? Well, light removes fear. You know, you take a child and you put them in a dark room, they're going to become afraid very quickly, you know. You put me in a dark room and I'm unfamiliar with it, I might get a little nervous, you know. But light reveals, light removes. What does it remove? It removes fear. You know, when light comes on the scene, there's no question as to what's going on around us. That fear is taken out of the way. Not only that, but light not only removes fear, but it removes false perceptions. False perceptions. Listen, as you turn on the light and you look in the mirror, guess what? You're going to see yourself for what you are, you know. I think about the other day, I was in church somewhere, and there was a young lady picking the gray hairs out of her husband's hair, out of his beard, you know. Light was revealing some things. And, you know, if he was to look at things without the lights on, he'd get some false perceptions, wouldn't he? Light takes those false perceptions out of the way. Not only that, but light revives. It revives. If you take a plant that's been in a dark room and you set it in the light, that plant will become alive, you know. I think about, you know, these been rainy days and stuff like that. It's days you want to sleep, ain't it, you know. You just want to get on the couch and hang out a while. But listen, if it was light outside, we'd want to go do something, you know. We'd want to go hit golf balls or go play basketball or go fishing or do something outside. Why? Because light revives. It kind of gets us going and things of that nature. I think about tonight as we're in the Christmas season, you could say that it's a season of lights, is it not? You won't be able to go home tonight and not pass somewhere where there's some kind of Christmas lights up tonight. As we look around, we see all kinds of lights. We can see lights on trees, you know. We see lights in the garland there. We see lights on cars, on trucks, on houses. We see lights in stores. We see lights on people. And even this time of year, we put a light on the end of a reindeer, you know. There's lights everywhere that we can see. And as I thought about this and I began to think about this, I thought about how that we can look at those lights and realize that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And He lives inside of each one of us tonight. Like the John the Baptist, however, we have the task of bearing witness of that light. We have the task of bearing witness of that light. In Matthew 5:14, the Bible would say, "Ye are the light of the world." Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice there we are told that we are the light of the world. Why are we the light of the world? Because Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. We are witnesses of the light of Christ because He has come into our lives and changed our lives. Notice there, Matthew 5:16, it says, "So let your light so shine before men." You know, there's no such thing as a secret agent Christian. We are to be known and we are to be telling who we are in the Christian faith that we possess. Notice there, it goes on to say that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As we testify to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the change that He's made in our life, what we need to be testifying of, or when we do testify, what it must do is it must bring glory to the Father. Everything we do in life needs to be bring glory to our Heavenly Father. So to notice tonight, we are to let our light so shine. The light that Christ has brought into our lives. Understand, before Christ, a person's life is dark and dim. But Christ turns the night into day. I would like to point out tonight simply four things from the ministry of John the Baptist that will help us become better light bearers. I don't know about you, but I'm not always the best light bearer in the world which I live in. I'm not always the best light bearer at work. I'm not always the best light bearer in the home that God has given me. And many of you can say that as well tonight, that we don't always bear the light as good as we ought to. But I think tonight there's always room for us to improve and become better light bearers. What a task we have been given, to the fact that we can take Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. In my own life, I had the privilege of taking it behind the prison walls. I had the privilege of taking it other places. Many of you can go places tonight that I cannot go, and you have a job to be a light bearer. I think about how God has given us to that. First of all, tonight, I think one thing we need to realize is realize the fact that we are not the light. We are not the light. If you look there in verse number 8, the Bible tells us, he says, he was not that light. John the Baptist was not the light. Jesus Christ was the light. Goes on to say in verse number 15, there in the book of John, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Notice that word prefer means to honor or to esteem above another. John the Baptist did not magnify himself. He magnified the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist did not magnify his ministry. He magnified the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John's message was not about his life. It was about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. John's actions always pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, or pointed to the light. As believers, if we are going to be successful light bearers, we must live our lives by pointing others to the light and realizing that we are not the light. As great or as good as we think we are, as wonderful as we consider ourselves to be tonight, there is none of us tonight that is good or even close to the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember daily that it's not about us, but it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We must realize in our family, in our home, it's not about what we can do, but what Christ can do for our family. We must realize tonight that it's not what we can do in our church, but what Christ can do through us for our church. We must realize that our ministry will not be successful if we try to do it for self-glory. It'll be vain and failure. I see tonight we need to learn to talk more about the flame and less about the candle. You see, the candle carries the flame, but the flame lights the room. You think about how you could go down to the store and you could buy one of them Yankee candles, you know, or different places, and man, them candles look good, don't they, you know? They're expensive, by the way. I don't understand all that. But they look good and they look pretty and they make great gifts, fellas, you know, if last minute shopping option there. They make great gifts, but listen, it's not about that look of that candle. It's not about how beautiful it is. It's about that flame that lights the room. I think about tonight, so often we get fixed on ourselves and we get fixed on how good we look, and we forget that we're supposed to be talking about the flame, the light of the world. Our lives must be humbled, and we be live with a humble spirit, with a meek spirit, so that we might better bear the gospel of Christ. Secondly, tonight, we need to realize who the light is. Who the light is. John understood that Christ was the light, that God had came in the flesh. In verse number 15, John would say, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Notice there, John said he was before me. Now you say, what's that got to do with anything? Understand this, John and the Lord Jesus were cousins on earth, you know. They were kinfolk, you know. But John was born 6 months ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. But John said there in verse number 15, for he was before me. Now wait a minute. If John was 6 months older than Christ, that would make him older than Christ, correct? But John understood who the Lord Jesus was. John understood that it was God in the flesh. John knew that he was God. John knew that the light created the light. I can't imagine figuring that. Looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing that the very ground that he was walking on, God had created. That man, the Lord Jesus, had created that. The very sun in the sky, the very light that he had, Jesus Christ had created that light. Before Jesus Christ was, before the world was, Jesus Christ was. Christ was the I Am. We were talking at work today, and we get on some subjects, I'll say. And we were talking about one man that I had done some work for, and he believes evolution and all that stuff, you know. And we kept, you know, they were talking about, you know, well, they say, well, the dust came and started spinning, and I won't get into all that because I don't want to pollute nobody's mind tonight. But listen, the question was asked, well, where did the dust come from? And where did this come from? Listen, people need to understand that God has always existed. He's always been. In this matter of creation, in this matter of the world, He's the one that spoke it into existence. It just didn't form out of nothing. God, well, it did form out of nothing because God spoke it into existence. Oftentimes I think when people ask the question, where do we come from? I think about the verse in Genesis, in the beginning, God. And in the discussion, right? I think about how that Jesus Christ was the one that created all these things. Not only that, but John would go on to say that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. He was the one that was coming to take away the sins of the world. To bear light, we must realize who the light is. He is God in the flesh. He is our Savior. He is our substitute. He is our Redeemer. He is our friend. He is our Deliverer. He is our Ark. He is our King. He is our God. He is our Captain, and He is so much more tonight. Oftentimes we forget who Christ is and how wonderful He has been to us. But if we're going to properly bear light, we must see Him for who He is. Understand, the more we realize who the light is, the more wonderful our task becomes. Oftentimes we get discouraged in ministry. We get discouraged in soul winning. We get discouraged in what God's called us to do. And the reason we do that is because our focus has moved off of who we are serving and what He has done for us tonight. The light He gives us to give to others. The joy He brings to us is so that others can have the same joy. The liberty in which we possess tonight is so that we can tell others of the liberty that we possess tonight. The warmth that we can have and we can hold on to is so that we can go warm someone else tonight. All that we have and all that we find in Christ, others can also find in Christ. Jesus Christ should be more to us than any one person and any one thing on this planet ever. I think about tonight, I love my wife and I love my children and I don't want anything to happen to them and I wouldn't let anybody harm them. And you know, if you do, you're going to have a madman and a 12 gauge on your hand. But listen to me tonight, as much as I love them and as much as I care for them, I need to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than I could ever love them. I need to keep Him front more than I could ever keep Him front. So often men and women get that thing out of balance and out of whack and they put a person in front of Christ. They're at a dangerous place in their life. That person's in a dangerous place because God might remove them so that they'll see Him and get back to where they need to be. Christ should mean more to us than anyone. Then I see thirdly tonight another thing that we need to realize tonight. We need to realize where the light came from. You say, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says there was a man sent from God. This is talking about John the Baptist there. But if you look in verse number 11, it says, He came unto His own. And then down in verse number 14, it says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Understand tonight, John realized that he had been sent from God. Christ had been sent from God. The light had come from God. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Think about this tonight. Where did Christ come from? He came from heaven. He came from the glory of heaven. He came from the glory of His Father's throne and that throne that He had there in heaven. He came to where the angels were crying, holy, holy, holy. He came from the very portals of heaven to take on human form and human flesh. I think about it's easy for us to forget the great sacrifice that Christ actually made for us. Not only the sacrifice of the cross, but all that He gave up to take on the flesh of a man. If we would tonight look at Christ and see it all the glories He left, it would absolutely boggle our minds tonight. Christ humbled Himself greatly so that He could win a lost world to us. Christ came from the glories of heaven to take on flesh to suffer for us. You could say that the light we have to share is out of this world tonight. The light of Christ is out of this world this evening. Knowing this fact tonight that Jesus is coming again with power and He will be above all and He will be higher than anyone tonight. But imagine what He left to come to be that sacrifice. I can't even in my own self begin to describe it. I think about in the book of Isaiah how that he saw God high and lifted up, and how the train filled the temple, how that Christ was there in heaven, and the very world was his footstool, the very stars was his blanket and his robe, and all that he possessed, he gave that up so that he could become the supreme sacrifice for us tonight. And then I see, fourthly tonight, as we begin to close this evening, I want to say this. We need to realize who the light is for. The Bible would go on to say here in verses 11 through 13, he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice there, he came to the but as many. He came to this world, he came to every person who lives in this dark world to be a light to them. The light was given, and the world tonight needs this great light. We talk about the darkness of the world and things of that nature many times and things of that, but listen, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is for all mankind. It's not for red, it's not for yellow, it's not for black, it's not for white, it's for as many as received him. Notice tonight something that jumped out of me as I thought about this, who it was for. Notice the beauty of verse number 13. It says, which were born. I like that word born. What's he talking about? He's talking about being born again. He's talking about being born again. You begin to think about that matter of being born again. Notice it says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. Understand this tonight, when salvation takes place, it's a supernatural event. God is the one that brings salvation into a life. And I begin to think about which we're born. You know, when a child is born, they see the light for the first time, you know. Any of you who have had the privilege of seeing your children brought into the world, you know, they come out and they're kind of like, you know, I can't do it very good. Stevie Wonderish, you know, squinting and everything, looking around, trying to figure it out. Trying to, you know, see that light and things of that nature, you know. They had never seen that light before, but listen, it's the same thing when a lost person gets saved. What happens in their life? All of a sudden they go from that darkness and they come to that light. And it's amazing to them. I don't know about you, but the night I got saved, I saw the light, as the old song says. Listen, it was amazing what God revealed to me. It was amazing the thing that took place in my life. Many of you can remember the time that Christ came into your life, and when that light bulb came on, when Christ entered into your life, man, it was absolutely amazing what happened. The light is for those that are in darkness, and the light bearers, which is those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, must carry that light forward tonight. So in closing tonight, the believer has the task of John the Baptist, to bear record of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. I think about during this time of year, during this season, there's no greater time that we have to bear record of the light. To bear record of the light. We're going to be around family that needs somebody to bear record to the light to them. We're going to be around friends that need somebody to bear record of the light. My children need somebody to bear record to the light with them. And listen, we can be busy, we can be all of those different things, but we need to realize we need to take time to bear record of the light. To sit down and say, listen, the world was in darkness, but Christ came, and now there's a light in the world that can save your soul and change your life. I think about tonight real quick. How is your light shining? You know, how is your light shining tonight? Sometimes we get kind of towards the end of this year and things are gearing down, and we tend to want to coast a little bit. But listen, our light needs to still be shining bright. Our light still needs to be shining strong. Is your light what it needs to be tonight? I say tonight, you may realize that you're not the light, and Jesus Christ is the light, and you just kind of need to get out of the way. Or maybe tonight you may need somebody, or you may know somebody that you need to carry the light to tonight. Somebody that needs to hear the gospel. Or you could be here tonight and you're simply still in darkness. You hadn't had that light bulb moment where somebody's flipped the switch on. Listen, tonight would be a wonderful night to step into that light. John would go on to say he was not the light, but it was sent to bear witness of that light. Father, we love you tonight. Lord.